Hello, my name is Jacob Fenston. Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Sub-Saharan Africa has seen steady economic growth over the past 5 years, despite the global financial crisis. That growth was spurred in part by increased public investment, according to IMF economist Salifu Issoufou. But increased spending by government can also be dangerous if the money is spent on poorly chosen projects or financed with expensive loans, which can weigh a country down with debt. Issoufou spoke with Lika Gay and began by explaining the different forms of investment available to governments in sub-Saharan Africa.
There are basically two types of investment. There's public investment and private investment. In terms of source of financing for public investment, there are basically various sources. One is taxes, so the government can raise taxes to finance public investment. The other is basically domestic borrowing, so the government can issue domestic bonds to generate funds to finance public investment. Another source, which you might not find in other countries, is aid. So, for example, a country can get grants and also concessional loans that can be used to basically finance public investment. Now, for private investment, you can have FDI. FDI is part of private investment. Let me give you an example of FDI. If a foreign investor comes into a country and build a factory, that is considered an FDI. A foreign investor can also come into a country and acquire a certain share of a company. That could also be considered a foreign direct investment.
What are the challenges associated with public investment in general and with these different sources of financing that you've mentioned before?
How you finance public investment can pose challenges. How you implement public investment, how you choose actually the project, what type of project you intend to finance, all of those can pose challenges. So let me give you an example. If you decide to finance public investment using taxes, you can stifle the private sector, so you would have lower private investment. You could also end up with lower consumption. If you finance public investment using expensive commercial loans, you could end up with debt sustainability problems in the long run.
But is there one part that is more important than the other, or they're all equally as important?
I would say they're all equally as important. You can have cheap financing, so you could have, for example, concessional loans, or you could have grants to finance public investment. But if you finance very poor project, then it's sort of like money wasted. You can choose very good project, but then on the implementation phase, if you don't implement it well, then you end up with basically wasted resources.
Has this public investment had any significant positive impact on growth? Can you give us an example of that?
Historically, it has been very difficult to actually find a good case where you have an increase in public investment that led to a sustained growth. But that doesn't mean public investment cannot have positive impacts on growth. For example, if a country invests in a road that goes, for example, from a factory to the port, that could have a positive impact on growth because it would allow the private sector to use the road to ship the goods to the port. So basically, it facilitates the activities in the private sector, and that can have an impact on growth. Public investment can also help with the provision of public services overall. So, for example, the provision of health and education. Let's say you have a health program where you are trying to reduce the prevalence of a certain disease. So you build, for example, a center where sick people can come and get treatment. Now, if you don't have decent roads that would connect the population to these centers, they're not going to be able to come and get treated. So if you have these decent infrastructure, that could actually improve the provision of these services. So overall, public investment, even though historically we cannot find a good example, it still can have a positive impact on growth overall.
Many African countries have recently successfully undergone this HIPIC initiative. So for those who don't know, can you first tell us what it is? And how can they ensure staying on course and avoiding further indebtedness? Because I'm assuming that this is the main problem, actually, with public investment, avoid indebtedness.
Yes, so I would begin by describing what HIPIC is. HIPIC means Heavily Indebted Poor Countries Initiative. It was basically designed to help sub-Saharan African countries or low-income countries that are heavily indebted in general, help them basically lower their debt levels. After they have reached the completion point, they had lower debt levels that allowed them to seek more financing. They could borrow more now to finance needed public investments, for example. But there are risks, obviously. If you borrow to finance poorly chosen investments, and if those poorly chosen investments are not even implemented well, then you could have the cost associated with that accumulated over time. You will not have enough revenues to pay back the loans that you borrowed, and that can lead to debt problems down the road.
So taking all of the above into account, what is the best investment strategy for sub-Saharan countries?
I would begin with making sure that the investment process, the due diligence, is actually followed closely. So make sure that they choose very good projects. Make sure that they finance those projects wisely. Make sure that they implement them in a very effective manner. And also make sure that the private sector is part of the process. So sub-Saharan African countries can make use of public and private partnerships, whereby it's a private sector that basically would finance a big chunk of the infrastructure projects, for example. That way, the government would not have the whole cost on its books.
That was IMF economist Sally Fuisufu speaking with Lika Gay on public investment in sub-Saharan Africa. To hear more podcasts, you can visit us online at www.imf.org/podcasts.